What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Lauren Lapid, a 22-year-old from the suburbs of Southern California, a recent college graduate, and now a fresh New Yorker trying to adult in this crazy post-college life. You're listening to Rookies in the Real World. In today's episode, we're joined by Sarah Ellis, co-host of the Subtext podcast, as we discuss the real truth about the New York City dating scene.
It's Rookies in the Real World. Whoa. It's time for real talk on becoming an adult.
Okay, Rookie Gang, here is a recap of my sad, non-existent dating life. I spent most of my first year in New York City in a long-distance relationship, and then when I finally got to being, like, happily single, coronavirus quarantines hit. So yeah, I haven't gone on a date or have had physical contact with a man in forever. And I mean, from what I've both seen and heard from my girl gang in the city, the New York City dating life is kind of rough, like rough. So to prepare me and you for the crazy adventure of dating in New York City in your 20s, I've brought on a seasoned professional. Everyone meet Sarah Ellis. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited you're here. A little background on Sarah. Sarah is a culture writer and reporter in New York City. She's written about everything from contraceptive access to dating apps, and she is especially interested in elevating the voices of women who have something to say. Snaps to you. Her work can be found in Health Central, Elite Daily, Rewire News, Greatest, Live Strong, Mind Body Green, and She Knows, and plenty more. And she has an incredible podcast called Subtext, which is all about online dating advice in our ever-evolving digital-first world. So truly, she's like the best person that can come on and speak about New York City dating. So thank you so much for your time, Sarah.
Of course. I hope I can live up to that.
You will. I want to start with a little bit of an icebreaker, though. What made you want to start a podcast on online dating?
Yeah, so this is such a funny and random story because I don't think when I moved to New York 3 years ago, I don't think I would have told you, like, you know what I'm going to do? Start a podcast about online dating. So I went to grad school for journalism at NYU. And actually, podcasting was a big interest of mine during my studies. And so I took a few audio classes. And I was working on this piece about funny dating terms. So, like, it was this type of, like, go out on the street, ask people about weird dating terms, like catfishing and, there are so many of them. That, like, catfishing and, like, there's a million and five, but I was out asking people about dating terms and I needed to find an expert for this piece on someone who would be somebody that would be good that I could talk to. And so I found Michelle McSweeney, who's now my co-host of the podcast. She's this linguist in New York who, you know, has taught at CUNY and Pratt and is an expert on why we talk the way we do online, like what
so interesting.
Different emojis and texts mean. And so I interviewed her for this story and was like, okay, I'm obsessed with you. I know all my friends would love to hear what you have to say. So yeah, she and I were like, I was like, do you want to keep working with me? And we started this podcast and it's mostly consists of me asking questions that I'm curious about. And then Michelle kind of providing expert intel. So I couldn't do it without her, but it's really fun and has been like a random, I thought it was a one-off project and has been 2 years now in the making.
I love it, guys. Seriously, it's such a good binge. I seriously can't get enough of it. I'm like, wow, I'm learning so much.
I know. We'll have ones on episodes on like, am I too friendly? Or like, what does it mean when
that
he says...
That was the first one I listened to. It was like, am I too friendly? Because I read that and was like, okay, me AF. Like, what am I doing wrong here?
I know. I've been there too.
Oh, men. Here we go.
I know.
Let's start with a lay of the land. If you could describe the New York City dating scene in 5 words, what would they be?
Oh, man. How to even sum it up? I mean, I feel like the first thing that I think of is chaotic, because it is, I mean, New York is a chaotic city, and so it only makes sense that the dating scene could also be somewhat chaotic, but also, like, unexpected and unpredictable, and at the same time, I think, in that same vein, memorable and entertaining. Yes. There it is.
Entertaining. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, you... Even if you have horror stories, they will be funny and you will talk about them. So that's a good thing.
That's so true. I, like, just downloaded Hinge for the first time in over a year, and that's the only dating app I'm on, and, like, I already have stories. Like, what in the world are men these days? But we'll get into that. Let's talk about stereotypes and misconceptions, because I came into the city thinking it would be, like, a phenomenal place to date because there are just so many people. What's it really like?
So I had the same exact thought. I was coming from, you know, I had lived in Nashville for all of college and was kind of in a place where I was like ready for a new crop. I was like, okay, I know all these people. I need a fresh crop. And I was like, New York, like everything is going to be amazing. There are so many, there are what, 8 million people in the city. So I was like, oh, there's going to be a million options. But I think, interestingly, like, that can contribute in real life in the New York City dating scene to, like, a bit of an option paralysis, if that makes sense. Like, there's almost so many people and so many people to, quote, like, choose from that you have trouble getting people to commit. And by commit, I mean even commit to, like, an in-person date. Like, not like you're trying to be serious or something, but I think there's a lot of like, oh, I can swipe right on 150 people, and so I just lose track of all these conversations, and I just feel like there's always someone else. And that's what, like, something that I've experienced, not me personally, I have not swiped right on 150 people, but like some of the people that I've ended up chatting with on apps, you kind of have the feeling that they feel like they have a million options, and so I think that can be hard. Yeah.
Oh, I never thought about it that way. Okay, well, I hate to be that person that prescribes a label, but for the purpose of education, what would you say are, like, 3 to 5 categories that guys fall under in the city?
Yeah. Well, you definitely have, like, the finance bro type, right?
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like
that's
very stereotypical New York. Like, when I first moved to the city, I lived in the East Village, and that is, like, the hot spot for the finance guys. And so there seemed to be so many of them in my neighborhood at that time. You definitely also have, like, the struggling creative that'll be like, I don't know, a comedian, a model. There's a lot of models in the city, like, more than I would have thought, and I would see them on apps and be like, okay, that is, like, your modeling portfolio pick. Like,
for real, I'm out here with, like, selfies, and they have, like, New York Fashion Week.
I know. So that's definitely, like, a second type. And then you have, like, the native New Yorker who grew up in Queens and is like, oh, I've been here my whole life. I know it better than anyone. Anyone who moved here recently is, like, a fake, you know, whatever.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. And then there's also the, like, I'm here for a weekend.
Oh, yeah. Those boys.
I know. I can't tell you how many times, like, on Bumble, the bio would be, like, here for the weekend, who wants to go out? But then at the same time, like, that's the same guy who also thinks he knows the city better than you.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, that's, like, actually so scary accurate.
Right? Like, he's, like, you're like, okay, let's meet for drinks in Soho. And he's like, no, Hell's Kitchen. Like, he knows.
God, I hate those.
I know. And then I feel like the other one is, like, the freelancer, like, IT web development guy who's like always sitting in a Brooklyn coffee shop Monday to Friday. Yes, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of a vibe. I mean, yeah. So that there's a mixture.
Oh, this is so entertaining and exciting for me. But Sarah, I know that you met your boyfriend here in the city. Give us a quick rundown of your story. You found success in a hopeless place.
I did. And it was, let me tell you, Lauren, it was a hopeless place. Like, for a solid year and a half, I felt like I was aggressively trying, to meet someone. Yeah, I mean, it definitely took a while and felt like a slog. So I met my boyfriend Aaron, and I have been together for over a year now, which feels crazy to say, but I met him on Hinge. So online dating worked out for me. I know. It's funny. I met him, it would have been around the holidays, beginning of 2019. I was actually traveling in Spain, over Christmas with my dad, and had been messaging this guy on Hinge, because Hinge doesn't update based on your current location. So I was talking to people that were actually in New York, and I remember talking to him and telling my dad oh, there's this guy, and my dad's cool, because I probably said that to him every other week about some guy I was talking to. But I met Aaron for the first time in early January. It was after I got back, and we went to La Colombe for coffee, which I thought was nice, because there's so many drinks dates, and he was afternoon coffee, and I was okay. And we got coffee and walked around the park and ended up talking for 4 hours. And then, I know. And then started going out from there. So honestly, it really has been great. And I think what was so great about Aaron is that when I met him, I felt like I was surprised that we hadn't met before. And this is many dating app theories, but I think one thing that can make it challenging is that a lot of the people you'll meet sometimes from an app, you go out with them and you feel there's a reason that we did not run in the same circles, because you're meeting someone completely randomly who you don't have any necessarily mutual friends with or anything. And I think a lot of times I would meet someone and then be I just feel like there's a reason that we have not met. And with Aaron, I was why do I not already know you? We have so much in common. Do you know what I mean? So that's a good sign when that happens.
That's such, yeah. Wow. Pro tip. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm so happy for you guys.
Thanks.
Guys, there is hope. You can find love in a hopeless place. Just look at Sarah and her boo.
It takes a while. Sometimes.
And I'm sure through many different encounters on the apps. So why don't we start with Tinder, something I haven't been on since college, so I really don't even know the vibe anymore. But let's talk Tinder in the city. What's it like?
Literally, I hate Tinder. I was I think I was on Tinder for all of 2 days before I deleted it. I just feel like Tinder is almost, it was the OG in the kind of swiping dating app culture, to an extent now that it's just kind of a cesspool of whatever.
That's a fair assessment.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't surprise me that you're haven't been on Tinder since college. That's kind of the vibe of Tinder. Yeah, I don't know. So I don't really have a ton of experience with Tinder, because I think I had it very briefly and was I can't survive here.
I mean, that's fair, and that's still a learning experience. So I feel like Tinder's cuter sister would be Bumble. So what's Bumble like?
So Bumble, from my personal analysis, has really hot guys. The guys I would see on Bumble were always super hot, but I had trouble with them being flaky, which was frustrating because for Bumble, obviously, I mean, I gravitated toward Bumble because I was feminist approach. Women make the first move.
Girl message first.
Which is awesome, but it means that you're doing a lot of work. And I found that a lot of times guys were not responsive on there. And I don't know, that was kind of where I had the idea of it almost feels like guys just want to have a bunch of options, or they want to swipe right on people just to see who's gonna like them, or they want to feel like they can have a million. Do you know what I mean? And so I I mean, I went on a few dates from Bumble and I liked the guys that I saw on there, but I just had a lot of trouble. Like, I would get frustrated feeling like I was messaging people and putting in all this work, and then a lot of times it wouldn't pan out, and I was like, why am I doing this? So I was on and off with Bumble, so honestly. True. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that brings us to our fave app, Hinge. Let's talk Hinge.
Yeah, I really like Hinge. It's funny because I had never heard of Hinge until I lived in New York. And then I heard some people talking about it. Like, people who were in relationships were like, oh, I met them on Hinge. And I tried it. And at first, I was not into it because it's interesting that, like, someone can like you without you liking them back. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a mutual match.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually kind of cool now. But at the beginning, I was like, oh, no. Because it was just all kinds of, like, random people. And I was like, this is a lot. But that's actually also kind of a cool thing, I think, because you can comment on specific things about someone. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Aaron maybe liked my photo, and then I commented on, like, his street photography that he does. So that was kind of cool because it gives you, like, really specific points.
Mutual things to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good. But I also think at the same time, like, it's great that you can like someone without them liking you back, but it's also, like, not great sometimes because you're like, okay, these 10 people, like,
You gotta go.
This is a no. Yeah, exactly.
I've heard of other, I feel like those are the three main ones, and I've, like, heard and seen inklings of these two apps called The League and then The Inner Circle. Have you had any experience with those?
Yeah, so I've actually never heard of The Inner Circle, but The League I had heard of. That was another one that I heard from friends when I moved to the city and was like, ooh, it's exclusive. And so I waited, like, 4 months on the waiting list.
Wait, there's a waiting list?
Yeah, so you have to connect your LinkedIn profile.
Oh, here we go.
Which is I know. That should have been a red flag, but I was really committed. I was like, oh, my Prince Charming is in this exclusive app and I have to wait for him. So I was like, waited for 4 months and was so excited to get in. And honestly, I hated The League because it was so pretentious feeling to me. And I think, I guess that's why some people like it, because they feel like they can meet, like, high caliber people. But at the same time, like, because you have to connect your LinkedIn profile. So it has to include all these things, like where you went to school and what jobs you've had. And, like, that is automatically included. And I found that it was a lot of, like, Harvard and Princeton and, like, Yale. And I was just like, like, every time I would get on there, I was like, no one's liking me back. And I was like, I can't be here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry you have to go through that. No,
that's okay. You know, I actually think I did end up going on a date with a guy that I matched with on The League and then ended up matching with on Bumble. So, like, I mean, I ended up meeting some people through it, but it was not my favorite.
Good to know. Okay. I didn't know that there was a waiting list. I literally was like, what?
Yeah, it's like Raya vibes, like with the exclusive waiting list.
Interesting. Well, if that's your cup of tea, y'all, go for it. Like, beef up your LinkedIn before you apply.
Exactly.
Like, you never know. Gotta be safe. Okay, Sarah, this is a burning question of mine because it's happened to me and I, like, don't know the proper etiquette. What do you do when you see someone that you, like, kind of know on an app, like a coworker of your boss or, like, somebody that, like, you know, you have, like, some sort of connection that makes it a little weird?
To be honest, Lauren, I think you need to come on Subtext. We need to talk about this because I don't have an answer.
Before we move on to, like, the actual, like, meeting up and dating, let's talk your one pro tip you have regarding online dating apps.
So, interestingly, I feel like this applies not just in New York, but kind of anywhere that you're online dating, is the less that I played the game with apps, the more luck I actually had meeting people.
Huh.
Does that make sense? Like, I think when I first started online dating, I really, like, fed into the, oh, I need to be flirty and, like, respond in a certain amount of time. And I just thought a lot about everything. And then the more that I was like, guys are flaky, people are annoying me. Like the date people that I would end up going on in-person dates with were a lot of times because I or they were just like, hey, can I meet you? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think just like cutting the bullshit out and just saying like, yes, I want to meet you just makes it so much easier. And it avoids kind of the game of back and forth. Like, how was your day today over text with a random stranger, which just feels so pointless.
That is so, so true. That's such a good point. I feel like to that point, it's almost like the more natural you are with it and the less like you force it, like you never know who you're going to meet or how it's going to pan out.
Totally. And it can feel, you have to try to make it feel natural in a very unnatural setting, which online dating can feel unnatural. So I think it's just about just like being yourself and not worrying about it. It's also like the mentality of if the person hates you and you make a fool of yourself, they're literally a stranger. Who cares?
Oh, so true.
Yeah. Who cares?
Be yourself, y'all. You never have to see them again. Okay, so for dating, the in-person interaction, the part like I get the most nervous about, I swear I'm so awkward. But what do you think the hardest part about first dates in New York City is?
I mean, honestly, I think it's just choosing a place to go. I would stress over this so much because everyone in New York, like there are a million places you can go for drinks, for food, for walking around, and everybody has their favorites. And I was always worried that someone was going to judge the hell out of me for what I chose. So I would put so much
effort. I feel like people do judge, though, in New York City. They do. People totally judge you.
Oh, yeah. And, like, people definitely have their, like, these are the good places, these are the bad places. And that goes back to the people that I was like, oh, they're native New Yorkers, and they have favorites, or they're tourists there for the weekend. And so, yeah, I had multiple times where I would suggest a place, and the guy was like, no, like, lame.
Oh,
and
I was like, gosh. Eh. I was like, fine, I don't want to date you anyway. You're lame.
I know. So that was always a big stressor for me, honestly, and that's sometimes why I would, like, try to see if they would choose a place, just because I'm
no,
like,
you choose.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to say it. But, yeah, I just always was self-conscious about that.
I will be too, I'm sure, once I get back into the dating scene in the city. Okay, well, this kind of ties along with that. What do you think is the most stereotypical first date?
Oh, I mean, always drinks. Always drinks at some little bar in, like, the East Village or Soho, which is not... I mean, drinking is such a part of culture in New York, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it can get really predictable with dating. Like, and that was something I would think about too, right? Like, if I was trying to pick a place, I was like, well, I don't want to pick... Like, drinks are fine, but I need to find something, at least, like, an interesting place or something. I don't know, because everybody just wants to, like, grab a drink after work.
Oh, my God. That's, like, so... I'm thinking of, like, every finance guy in the finance district where I work. It's like, let's grab drinks for happy hour. Is that it? We're just gonna get drunk?
and it is. It's just like, okay, well, I mean, you could be a little more creative, which is why when Aaron suggested... like, oh, let's go to La Colombe on a Sunday afternoon. I was like, oh, different. Okay, let's try it.
Yeah. A totally different vibe for sure. Exactly. Oh, I love that. But do you have, like, any horror stories you'd be willing to share about dating in the city?
So I'm trying to think if I have one specific one that stands out. My biggest struggle was always actually figuring out how to tell guys or whether to tell guys that I had a career like writing about dating. Because, I mean, you think that people were...
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, because I've done a lot of writing about like sex and relationships for Elite Daily and Greatest and that kind of thing. And especially that was my primary gig for a while. So I would always kind of skirt around the issue when I was on a date. Like, I remember sitting at a restaurant with this guy on a first date, and I was like, I'm a culture writer. And he was like, what do you write about? And I was like, women's health. Like, yeah. And sometimes I would avoid, talking about the podcast, because I think, and I think he had that reaction kind of when I did finally say, like, oh, you know, I write some stuff about dating. It's the reaction of, like, are you recording this under the table? Like,
That's, like, so annoying that they'd assume that.
Yeah, it's just kind of it's weird territory to work with on a first date. So I would do a lot of, like, avoiding. Like, I think I told one guy I would do the health writer thing a lot. And then, you know, on a few dates in, you could talk more about it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's always weird to be like, oh, I have a podcast about dating, because I think people automatically assume, oh, you're gonna talk about them. But it's also, like, not a podcast about my dating life. But that would always give me so much anxiety before a date of, like, okay, how am I gonna tell them about my career without sounding like I'm, like, psycho writes about dating girl? I mean, and there are those types of people. Like, there are people like, go on dates and then, like, write a tell-all about the date.
I listen to a few podcasts like that, and I love them, but I don't envy the man that they're talking about.
Right, like, I love them, and props to them, because I am not brave enough to, like,
never
go on dates and tell everybody all about them. But, yeah, so that was always the biggest struggle, and I got some weird reactions from that. Like, there were a few times when the guys were like, let's not, like, I feel like it scared him off a little bit. Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to, like, filter who is a quality person.
It's true.
And who is not.
It's true.
So I have never had a first date in the city. I haven't been on a first date in, like, God knows how long. It's been over a year. So what would be your ideal first date? Places, activities? Give us some ideas.
Well, I love just anything that's a little bit different. I mean, I always like when somebody has a spot that is, like, little known that they are attached to for some reason, that they'll take you to. Because I think there can be a lot of, like, kind of typical sports bars or, like, you know, bars in Fidei where people go. And I think it's awesome when someone has, like, a neighborhood restaurant or bar and they're like, oh, let me take you to this place. I know the bartender. I mean, that's just a cool experience because you feel like you're in on something about their life. I also think, I mean, obviously when the weather's nicer, New York is just a funner place in general, but, like, anything that involves being outside, like, being able to walk around, that's why coffee can be so nice if it's a daytime thing, because you can walk around and sit outside. And that's nice too, because that's also something, I feel like first dates, it's challenging because you want something that, it can be a limited time frame. Like, you don't want to sign somebody up for, like, a 3-hour movie musical. but you want something that, like, could go longer. You know what I mean? It could be short or long. So that's the challenge to find.
Very good points. What do you think is the hardest thing about dating in New York City? And then to contrast that, what's the best thing about dating in New York City?
I feel like the hardest thing is just motivating yourself to keep doing it. New York's such a busy city, and sometimes it feels like the last thing we need is one more thing to do. And there was a while for me where dating felt like a chore, and I was new to the city. I was trying to meet people. I was, like, trying to make it as a journalist. I was trying to date, and I was like, honestly, this is so much more effort than I thought. And so I feel like it can just add to the list of a million things we're rushing around trying to do, and so motivation can be tough, because I would definitely go through phases where I was on, like, 5 apps at once, and then I was like, I'm done for, like, a month, and then I was like, we're doing it again. Like, it would wax and wane.
Okay, well, what's the best thing about dating?
I think just that it never gets boring. Like, I talk to friends in other cities who feel like there's kind of one stereotype of the guys there, or they feel like they've almost maxed out of meeting the eligible people. And you just don't do that. You know, for better or for worse in New York, you can't max out. And I mean, I think it does contribute to, like, a lot of people being flaky and kind of commitment phobic. But at the same time, if you're willing to try, like, it's never going to get boring, and you will always have stories. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. So true. At the end of the day, at least you have stories.
Exactly. Exactly. And then looking back on it, like, even if in the moment you're like, this is a disastrous date, you'll tell people about it for years. So, I mean, that's the pro of it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, to wrap up, I would love to do, like, some, like, lightning round pro tip takeaways for three different scenarios. So, scenario number one, sum up the one piece of advice you have for anyone new to New York and its dating scene, and this doesn't have to be, like, app exclusive.
Don't try to be anything that you're not, because there are a lot of different types of people, and I think it can be easy, especially, you know, when you first move to New York, maybe you're trying to, like, impress mm-hmm. someone or look like you mm-hmm. have your shit together, and just don't, because for every person that you'll meet that will make you feel bad about that, there will be five people who will make you feel great. Do you know what I mean? And so, yeah. like, anybody who... I'm, like, motivational speaker talk right now, but yes. seriously, I mean, you just... don't have time for people who aren't willing to meet you where you are. So I think just own it.
That is amazing. I'm going to live by that when I get back to the city. What is the one piece of advice to the gals in, like, currently in the New York City dating scene that are, like, about to lose hope, are over it, are angry?
Keep trying, I think. That was definitely me. I mean, I spent really 18 months of actively trying on dating apps to meet someone. And I really went through phases. And I think at the same time, you have to give yourself grace. Like, if you need a break, take a break. I did that multiple mm-hmm. times. And there's sometimes where you're just like, I can't do this. I need 2 weeks off. Like, I don't want to talk to yeah. anyone. But then also, something will happen. I think it takes more time in some cases than it does for others, and it's just a crapshoot. Honestly, it's a crapshoot. Like, and I'll have friends who went on their first online date and now they're, like, in love for 4 years. Do you know what I mean? With, like, the first person they went on a yeah. Bumble date with. Yeah, but it's like, and then there was me a year in, and I was like, this is shit. Like, it's been terrible. And so I feel like you just, the more you work at it, like, the better chance you do have of meeting someone you'll connect with. So it's just not giving up and taking breaks when you need it.
Totally. Listen to, like, yourself and your own needs exactly. first, I feel.
Exactly.
All right. Well, this is the last scenario. And I know we've been speaking from the perspective of straight women. So for any men listening, what is your best piece of advice to them to help them better connect with us females in the city?
What can I say?
Right? Like, why can we tell these men?
I know. I feel like taking initiative means a lot. You know?
Yes.
Like, that was something that New York is a city full of ambitious women. And I think that's amazing. Like, so many mm-hmm. girl bosses and mm-hmm. so many strong women. And so many women that are willing to take that initiative because they want to try and they want to put the effort in. And not that men yeah. aren't that way, but I just felt like I would love to see more of that come through with dating, right? Because you have just ambitious people in New York in general. And so I think it goes a long way when you're two busy people. And so make it easier on her. Do you know what I mean? Like, say you want to meet her, try to plan something, like, take initiative versus I felt like a lot of times I was just kind of like, oh, I'm dragging this along. So just... Yeah. It's the little things can mean a lot, especially at the beginning, because first impressions are big.
That is so true, men. Listen up. And to any ladies who have some guy friends that might be struggling, send them this episode, because I feel like this was very insightful for sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. This has been such a pleasure. I haven't stopped smiling since we started recording. Oh, where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on social media at Sarah A. Ellis _. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter, and I post about my writing work there, the podcast. Mm-hmm. You can also find the podcast. It's called Subtext. Wherever you get podcasts, and we are also on Instagram and Twitter at SubtextPod.
I seriously, guys, check it out. I love it. It's so binge-worthy. You guys need to Aww. Listen to it. But I am so glad you're able to join us. It was also so, so good catching up, Sarah. I hope that you stay safe and you stay well. And when we're both back in the city, we need to go back to that Mexican place and get margs and tacos again, because that was so good.
I think about it all the time. I'm ready.
I'm so ready. That one taco that was so spicy that it forced me to, like, chug my marg, and I was, like, drunk halfway through dinner. I was like, oh my god.
But we were thriving. We were driving. We were so doing thriving.
Oh my goodness. Huge shout out and thank you to Sarah Ellis. Everybody go give her some love on social. Check out the Subtext podcast. It is seriously such a good listen. I'll be linking everything in the show notes in addition to Black Lives Matter resources. And before we part and I see y'all next week, I wanted to apologize for some of the audio issues. This was recorded in May when we both had kind of just been like freshly displaced out of New York City. So Sarah didn't have proper gear. I was figuring out my gear, hence why there was a little bit of audio bleed, and I apologize. I swear we'll be back to our normal, high-quality selves next week, I promise. But I also have a little update. Since this was recorded in May, it's been 2 months since, and in that time, I have been swiping. I've been liking some profiles, and I have gone on a couple of Zoom dates with a New York boy, and I actually went on my first date in over a year here in SoCal with it was an interesting experience. He was a really nice guy, but it was an interesting experience. So that is a story for perhaps a Wine Wednesday. But if you guys like today's episode, give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share this episode on social media. That would mean the absolute world to me. But until next time, thank you guys so much for listening. I'll catch you all next week.